Just speaking a little bit here about baptism and its significance for us as believers. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 this evening. And the wonderful thing about baptism is that it continues to be significant for us the rest of our Christian life. It's not simply just important on the day we're baptized or significant while we're being baptized, and then as soon as, you know, we dry off, it doesn't really matter anymore. Our baptism is our public declaration of faith. Our baptism is the way that we hold on to our faith. It is what we constantly are to remind ourselves of as we walk through this life. In fact, our baptism is what we should point to as the moment of our, as the visible moment of our conversion. Really, that's baptism in the Bible. I know a lot of people typically think of, you know, when they got saved, they think of walking down the aisle and they prayed that sinner's prayer. But scripturally, according to the Word of God, it's baptism that sets us apart from the world. It's baptism that marks us as true believers in Jesus Christ. It's baptism in countries where Christians are persecuted today. It's baptism that really marks them apart. And until they're baptized, you can make all the professions of faith that you want. You can pray as many prayers. You can walk as many aisles. But when you are baptized, that symbolizes something. That signifies something. And in families that are opposed to Christ and nations that are opposed to Christ, it is when someone is baptized, they make that public declaration of faith. They identify their life going forward with Christ in a very visible, very tangible and a spiritual way, that from that moment on, even in some families, I've known of families that held a funeral for their loved one because they said, "You're dead to me. You're now dead to me because we are so opposed to Christ." And it is baptism that signifies that being dead to our old life and now being alive to Christ. And so Romans chapter 6, we're going to look here just briefly. This is such a powerful reminder for all of us, those who are being baptized tonight, of course, but those of us who have been baptized. This is such a powerful event in our life that he describes here in Romans chapter 6. And I want to stir all of us up here this evening. And so Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at, I'm going to read the first part of this, the first half of this chapter, and then just a few thoughts on it. So Romans 6, verse 1, it says, "What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been bought, who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. You know, Jesus, in the Great Commission, before he ascends into heaven, he gives his disciples his final instructions, and he says, go into all the world and teach all nations, or disciple all nations. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And so we see from the very beginning that the disciples begin to go and do that. When Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, and the message of the gospel pierces the people who killed Christ, who had Christ killed, he preaches to those same crowds that said, crucify him, crucify him. He preaches the message of the risen Christ on that day of Pentecost. And when he does, it says they are pierced to the heart. And they say, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. Repent and show that you are now a follower of Christ. And so from the very beginning of the Christian church, this baptism has been absolutely central to our walk with the Lord. And this baptism goes with, it symbolizes something. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is talking about. That the baptism symbolizes that we are dead to sin. We are dead to the old life. We are dead to being in bondage to the devil. And that's why Paul says here at the beginning, he says, what shall we say? Are we to continue in sin? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? This living that he's talking about here, it doesn't mean that we will never sin. It doesn't mean that once we're baptized, we're going to be perfect. Oh, if only that were the case. But what it does mean is that the path that we're now on, the trajectory of our life, the thing that we're aiming at, the pattern of our life is not one of continually living a pattern of sin, continually living a pattern of bondage, continually living a life that is bound by the devil. But our pattern of life, our habits of life, we have a new pattern of life, and that is Christ. Christ is now our pattern. And so we will sin. I'm not trying to say that we will never sin. We will sin, but when we sin, we repent again, and we come back to the Lord, and we continue to walk in faithfulness with him. When we sin, we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. We don't desire sin. We don't want to sin. Though we may be tempted to sin, and though we may even fall into sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us and he leads us back into fellowship with God through repentance. Sin is so deceptive. Sin is so deceptive that it does still deceive us even as believers in Christ. And so even believers, even those who have been baptized, even those who love the Lord, truly love the Lord, are at times in their flesh enticed to obey the desires of the flesh. We're promised, sin promises us things that are not true. It promises to give us joy and satisfaction, but it ultimately delivers death. And so believers, we're told that when we are baptized, we are not to continue in sin. We're not to live in sin. And what you are saying when you make this public profession of faith is not that I'm going to be perfect, but I'm going to pursue righteousness. Not that I'm never going to sin, but when I do sin, I'm going to repent. This is why baptism is a public profession. Because we, I believe, as the body of Christ, should remind those who may be living in sin as a believer to remind them that you've made a public profession of faith. You publicly professed your faith in Christ and to follow Him and to follow His teaching. And so we all have a part to play in helping one another live out our lives for Christ. This profession is a public profession, and we should hold one another accountable to this profession that we make. Not that we're holier than thou in any way, shape, or form, but that together we would pursue righteousness, together that we would pursue holiness, together that we would desire to walk in faithfulness with the Lord. Believers, we're told when we're baptized into Christ's death. Our old self has been crucified with Christ. And Paul applies this in verse 6. He says, therefore, the power of sin will no longer have dominion over you. That's wonderful news. The power of sin has been broken in our lives through the resurrection of Jesus. There's this beautiful promise in verse 4 where he says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism, coming out of the water, it symbolizes that resurrection of Jesus, no longer dead, but alive and alive forevermore. That when we put our faith in Christ and when He saves us, He gives us His eternal life that carries us now from this moment into eternity. And that we should now begin to walk out that new life that Christ has given to us. Just as God raised Christ from the dead, so we too should walk in newness of life. In verse 5, there's this beautiful promise. He says, if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. That's a beautiful promise that we all hold to, that we who are believers in Christ, that we will share in His resurrection. In verse 10 here, he says, for death, the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives, he now lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What he's saying here is that the saving work of Christ on the inward man, in our soul, that we're to work out our salvation, that it's not just something that happens on the inside, but just stays in there. But this newness of life begins to impact and to begin to change every part, every area of our lives. And so here Paul says, consider yourselves. Other translation says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. That's how you're to think of yourself. That's how you're to think of yourself. Is that I am dead to sin. I'm like a dead man. When the temptations come, I don't know if you know this, but you can tempt a corpse all you want. It's not going to have any effect on it. And we are to think of ourselves, that old fleshly man that wants to sin, that desires to sin, we're to tell that old fleshly man, you are dead. You have been crucified with Christ. We are dead. Consider yourselves, think of yourselves as dead to sin. Again, this is that word repentance, metanoia, to change the way you think, to change your mind, to change your thinking about sin. Sin does not satisfy once you're a believer. It truly doesn't bring any satisfaction in our lives. And in fact, it only brings pain. It only brings shame and guilt, and we want to run to Christ for forgiveness as soon as we can. We need to consider ourselves dead to sin And this is the truth that we are now to live by every single day of our lives. I live by this truth. I am dead to sin. Now the devil, I don't know if you know this, I just thought of this today, this statement. The devil is a liar. I'm just joking. I didn't just think of that. But the devil is a liar. And he's going to lie to us. And he's going to say, you're not dead to sin. That baptism, I don't know what kind of water they used, but it didn't work on you. You didn't really count. You're not really saved. You're not really a Christian. You're not really born again. You're not really filled with the Spirit of God. And he will tell us all of these lies and all of this trickery and all of this deception to try and lead us into sin. He is a liar. How do I know he'll tell you those lies? Because he tells me those lies. And when we do fall into sin, then he comes around with his condemnation. See, I told you so. This is how a child of God acts. This is how a child of God, this, that, and the other. God doesn't love you. God despises you. God, blah, blah, blah. All of these lies. But we must change our thinking. We must change the way that we think. We have been set free from this because Christ died to sin and he rose again. And so we also have been united in a death like his and a resurrection like his. And so we combat the lies of the enemy with the truth of the Word of God. That's what he's saying here. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Live like you believe the Word of God is true and that the devil is a liar. This is a daily thing. This isn't something that we do one time and then we're good to go. That our minds constantly need to be renewed with the truth of the Word of God. And so the conclusion of all of this, he says here in verse 12, is let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Verse 14, he says, sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Verse 13, he says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members as instruments for righteousness, that we present ourselves to God every single day. He died for us. He rose again to give us new life. We belong to him. We were bought with a price. We're going to glorify God with our bodies. We're going to glorify God with our thoughts. We're going to glorify God with our words. Sin is not our master. Sin is not our king. The devil is not our king. Christ is our king. Christ is our king. He's the one who reigns over our hearts. He's the one who reigns over our lives. And because he is our king, we don't live under the dominion of Satan, under the power of sin anymore. But that truly has been broken in our lives, and we truly have been set free by the power of God. And so baptism symbolizes all of that. We enter into the tank. We enter into the water just as Jesus entered into the grave. And we come up out of the water just like he rose on that third day, just as he rose again. And it's foreshadowing. It's pointing towards that great resurrection that we will all share in at the end of time, on the last day when God raises us up. But until that day, when Christ returns, until that last day, we're to live every other day looking forward to that, anticipating that, looking forward to the day when we will rise and living like we have risen. Living like Jesus did rise and that his power is alive inside of us. And so baptism is a picture of all of that. And so if you have been baptized, I call you, I call upon you. The scripture calls upon you to reckon yourselves, to consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. If you have been baptized, I say sin will have no dominion over you. That sin will not reign in your mortal body because Christ died and rose again. And for those of you who are about to be baptized, I say the same. And we celebrate with you today this new life that only Jesus can bring. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the new life that we have in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for those who are about to make this very important profession. We celebrate with them today. Lord, I thank you even for the children that are going to be baptized here this evening, that even on the day of Pentecost, Peter said that the promise of the Father is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off. And so we celebrate what you're doing in all of our lives tonight, and especially those, Lord, who are about to make this profession of faith. Lord, that you would move upon them, that you would touch them in a very special way this evening. They would never forget this Resurrection Sunday, 2024, when they publicly declared that you are their Savior and you are their Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.